that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to turn to Matthew 1. Matthew 1, beginning verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, and here the word thought is actually while he meditated and prayed about these things, so he was pursuing the heart of God in these things. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. And that was all Joseph needed to hear. Because then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. So, here's this godly man, young man, maybe early 20s, betrothed to this young girl. You know the story, most of us here. He found out she was pregnant. And keep in mind that being betrothed is kind of like being engaged, but it's kind of a blend of being engaged and married at the same time. It's kind of weird how the culture is different here. There, it's you're betrothed, so technically you're married to them, but you can't be with them till the marriage ceremony, and the betrothal time is a year. So it's kind of set up that way. So for this year, they were betrothed. So they were technically married, but couldn't be together. And didn't live together. And he finds out she's pregnant. He was a godly man. He was in right standing with God. He was a righteous man. So this angel shows up. And as he's praying and asking, what am I going to do? Am I going to just put her away secretly, hide her, keep shame away from her family, keep shame away from her, from me and my family? What should we do? And God shows up just like that in his time of need. So I want you to see the irony in a way here. The angel tells him, you will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Here's this man in his probably most dire moment of needing the presence of God with him. What happens? God showed up, right? God showed up. But I want to go back now to Isaiah. And we're going to look at a couple of things. In Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 14. We're going to read this and then I'll kind of give you the background to the story. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, who was king of Judah, saying, Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, Hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but you will weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So that's what the angel was quoting to Joseph. So what's the story of Ahaz? Ahaz is king of Judah. He was the grandson of Uzziah. Uzziah was a relatively godly king, but now his grandson is not a godly man at all. His grandson is as anti-God as so many other of the kings of Israel and Judah of the day. He was not a godly king. But what happens here? The king of Syria rises up against Judah. Ahaz is scared. He is scared. He's not a believer. Even though he's an Israelite, he did not believe in Yahweh. Didn't trust Yahweh, didn't love Yahweh, didn't walk with Yahweh, was not anywhere near the label righteous or right standing. So he's scared, yet God, in his grace, sends the prophet Isaiah to him. Think about this, because we're going to do a little comparison with Joseph and Ahaz here. He sends Isaiah to him, and Isaiah says, speaking prophetically for God, he says, listen, God's going to give you victory. He's going to give the land of Judah victory over the Syrians. Does Ahaz rejoice? Does he say, all right, we're in good shape. I feel better now? Uh-uh. He keeps doubting. He keeps doubting. He keeps questioning. He stays in that fearful mindset. Yet God is faithful. So he tells Ahaz through Isaiah, listen, obviously, you need a sign. You need me to prove something to you, to show you that you guys are going to be okay. So ask anything of God, just anything. Can you imagine in whatever situation you and I may be in personally today, God shows up or sends a messenger from God, his messenger, and he says, listen, Mike, to show you that God is with you in this, that you're not alone, you can ask God any sign you want, anything under heaven, and he'll show it to you just to prove you he's with you. Can you imagine that? But what is Ahaz's response is? And it's a little tricky to understand without reading the original Hebrew, but his response isn't, oh, goody. Show me, God. His response is an unbelieving response. It's almost a cocky, arrogant, unbelieving response of saying, oh, well, I'm not going to test God. Why? Because he lacks belief. He's not trusting. It's almost like he doesn't want to have God prove himself right. That's how evil he was. So it was full of doubt. I'm not going to test out, but it was masked under religion. Think about that for a second. Masked under religion, I'm not going to test God. Because, you know, he's a Jewish kid growing up. He knew the word of God in the Old Testament. So, you know, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. So he said, I'm not going to test God. That's a phony baloney response. And God knew it. And Isaiah saw right through it through the Holy Spirit. And what did he do? He said, listen, this is what God's going to do. He's going to give you a sign. He's going to say that the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, their virgin will conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Well, that can be taken for Ahaz's time in many different ways. One, literally, and many believe it may be talking about one of Ahaz's sons who grows up to be a godly king who redeems Israel for a period of time, restores Israel. But it's also taken prophetically for what is to come in the redemption of the house of Israel in Christ. Because remember, Jesus came for the Jews first. He came to redeem Israel, his children, and then we have been adopted as sons and daughters. So he redeemed us that way. So Ahaz was being very hypocritical in his response, but God gave him this sign. But let's look at something for a second. The meaning is, God is with them. When God says, Emmanuel, God is with us, I am with you, does God just show up to be an observer? Where's Rob? Rob, does he show up to be a watcher? He doesn't. When God is with us, it's not a noun, it is a verb. It means he is acting and moving in our lives. When Holy Spirit showed up today, that is God with us. He brought a revelation of God's heart to us of what God wanted to do today. God is not limited to being with us in a sanctuary only. Do you not think God wants to be with us, quote, when we're sitting around the dinner table? When we're in our home alone praying? When we're going through personal trials and temptations and struggles? He wants to be with you because him being with you comes with a revelation and comfort and strength and courage and the will to press on and hope. And I can keep going on with these different adjectives. He does not show up to say, man, you're in a tough bind, tough luck. I'll pray for you. Which is what most of us say, right? Now let's take it a step further. Who carries the presence of God? Who? We do, right? Because Holy Spirit, this is his temple. So when God is with us and we are carrying his presence, we are carrying him into different environments and situations, not to be a spectator, but to be a verb, right? To bring a revelation, to bring wisdom to act upon this revelation. To bring power to move within it, to do what needs to be done, right? So when we look at Ahaz and Joseph, Ahaz didn't believe, but Joseph was a righteous man. What does that tell you? He showed up for Ahaz, who was not a believer, and actually was, in a way, trying to avoid God showing him a sign. Because he didn't want to prove that God is right, because he didn't want to believe. Yet God was still gracious to him. Yet here you have also Joseph, who's a righteous man. We're going to do three comparisons. This is the first one of the two. Ahaz wasn't a believer. Joseph was a righteous man. Both had a messenger from God speaking the heart of God show up to them. What does that tell you? Yeah, he loves all of us. Angels showed up to Joseph and met him when he needed him, when he needed encouragement from God. Even as a believer, he was struggling with the complexity of the way God works. Because listen, some of us have been Christians for 30, 40, 50 years, right? And we still scratch our heads at how God does some things. We don't get it. And guess what? It's okay to say, I don't know. Or I don't know why. It's okay to say because we are not meant to know everything. It's okay. But he showed up to Joseph and he gave him what he needs to know. He showed up to Ahaz And he met him when Ahaz needed him, even when Ahaz didn't know he needed him. That says more about God's character than Ahaz's character, to be honest with you. Because what did Jesus do? Or what did God do? While we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for our sins. When we didn't even know we needed a Savior, he sent his son. When we were living our lives our way, doing things our way, we didn't even know we needed Jesus. And even though we think, yeah, I kind of know of him, and yes, maybe I do need him, we don't know what Jesus brings with him. Right? I'm sorry, but I still don't know what fully, or I shouldn't say no. I still have not fully experienced and opened my heart fully to what Jesus brings with him. But every day, the desire is, I want to be more open, Lord, and I want to have the capacity to host you more, capacity to receive more from what you are pouring out. I want more. Increase my ability to hold the more you're pouring out. Because I've not fully realized it yet. But even when he didn't know him, God showed up. Why? Because guess what? God loved Ahaz as much as he loved Joseph. He didn't like his actions, but he still liked him, still loved him. While we were yet sinners, our daddy up there didn't like our actions, but he still loved us, right? That's why he sent his son. There's nothing I can do to ever make Jesus not love me. Think about that. He loves us. The things I choose to do apart from him keep me from embracing the fullness of that love, being filled with that love, walking in that love, receiving that love. Because I'm not talking about hyper grace here. I'm not talking about grace that I can do whatever I want and everything will be okay. That, no, you can't do that. Sin separates us from that love. But repented sin embraces us with the fullness of that love. We're able to receive the fullness of that love. Second point, you have Ahaz who's doubting God, and Joseph was a righteous man, so he had a reverence for God. Why would he want to put Mary away? Because of the image that presented. Joseph was a godly man, and he did not want to reflect anything that would bring shame to who Yahweh is in his life and in Mary's life. So you had a doubting man and a reverent man that God showed up to and spoke to. Both had a choice at that point. And this man, God even said, test me. I'll give you a sign. Just tell me anything. Ask me. Ask me anything and I will do it. You remember in the Old Testament, I think it was Gideon who had a fleece and he was going up a battle and he was a little bit worried about the end result. And he took the fleece and he says, Lord, if you're with us, I'm going to lay this. Let me wake up tomorrow and let this fleece be wet. Next day it was wet. Let this fleece be dry. Let me try it again. Maybe it was a fluke. Maybe there's a leak in the roof. You know what I mean? He tested him 2-3 times. And God honored that because it's what Gideon needed at that time. See, God meets us where we are. I believe, in spite of the fact that Ahaz was an ungodly man, God's heart was to woo Ahaz to his heart. Because isn't that the character of God? Isn't the character of God that all men come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. All men come into that loving relationship. He didn't send his son, Jesus, for a part, you know, half the world relationship. My goodness, I'm going to use another Marvel reference here. If anyone's seen the Infinity, you know, Marvel's Infinity War saga, you know, he didn't come to snap his fingers and only take half the world with him. He came for all men. All men might be saved and know the love of God and spend eternity. So it was God's heart to woo Ahaz to him and met him exactly where he was. He knew he was doubting. God wasn't stupid. That's why he pressed the issue. Instead of allowing Isaiah to get so frustrated with him and go, you know what, you're an idiot, I'm out of here. He impressed on Isaiah's heart, I'm going to give him a sign anyway, because it's what he needs. His heart can still choose to be cold to me and reject me. But I'm going to give him the sign, and maybe he will choose to just open himself up to me and receive me. With Joseph, it was a little different. He was already a righteous man. But you know what Joseph was dealing with? Religion, a religious spirit, which a lot of us struggle with sometimes. And you know, Tiff and I talk about it all the time, because I grew up in a church that was very much about, I don't want to use the word religious spirit, but about this is the way church is supposed to be. This is what you look like. This is what you do. And you know what? I'm not putting it down. I'm actually thankful in many ways, because I learned a lot. I got a lot of my spiritual disciplines, my biblical foundations and base. I'm thankful for that. Just as Joseph was very thankful for his upbringing. But the Lord was more concerned about relationship than anything else. So he met Joseph exactly where Joseph needed to be met, where he was struggling with that religious mind, because he didn't know any better. He didn't know anything else. That what do I do to not dishonor God and dishonor my family and lose face? And God met him where he was and said, listen, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. This is what's going to take place. God is with you. It's okay. God is with you. This Savior that we're celebrating his birth this week, he is with us. He's not left or forsaken any of us. His word says, his spirit is the breath that surrounds us, that we breathe. He sticks closer than a brother. This is scripture. Jesus said, I may be physically departing from you, but I'm leaving my spirit, the essence of who I am in my Father, for you, for him, to dwell in you, so you and I will always be that close. We'll always be that close. You don't need to call me on your cell phone. You just talk to me, and I'm responding to you. This is what he did. He meets us where we are. And I know some of us are different places right now. But I believe God wants to kind of break through to a different place with you. He wants to go deeper with you and I today. Some of us are struggling in areas of doubt, which is a human normal thing to do. And some of us need a supernatural increase of faith, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, which comes from Holy Spirit dwelling in us and being upon us, which is the Spirit of Christ in us and upon us. So Father, in the name of Jesus, it is your gift. We just release that right now. We just release in the name of Jesus supernatural gift of faith over each one of us that'll just come and cover our doubt wash it away in Jesus' name. Exactly where we are, how we need you right now, Holy Spirit. Just come. Just come. The third thing I want to look at is look at Ahaz and look at Joseph. Ahaz acted in fear. Even after the sign was given to him, if you read ahead, you see he still was not right with God. And when you're not right with God, any one of us, we're acting on our own accord, right? When we are not walking with God, just by definition, if I'm not with him, I'm not with him. Therefore, who am I with? I'm with me, myself, and I. When I'm relying on me, myself, and I, what foundation am I relying on or standing on? See, when I'm with him, I'm on the foundation of faith. When I'm with me, myself, and I, I'm on shaking ground because there's fear, there's insecurity, there's going to be doubt coming at me. God did everything he could to take Ahaz and place him on a solid foundation. And even Israel was able to get the victory. But it still wasn't enough for him. God is doing everything he can right now, and he's given us everything we needed in Jesus. That's why Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. Don't take that to meet just physical needs. Sufficient means it's all-encompassing, that I have everything you will ever need. In the future, what you need now, I have it all covered. Anything you need, you open the door and it's there for you. It's there for you. It's sufficient. Everything Ahaz needed was what God was offering. But he chose to not to trust in that and continue to do his own thing. To walk his own way, his own path. God's grace still gave Israel the victory, and I'll tell you why in a second. But he was trying to woo him in to that. Now, look at the difference with Joseph. Ahaz acted in fear because he still was insecure after he received the sign. Joseph acted in faith. He was moved in faith. See, that does not mean that Joseph didn't still go, I don't get it. I'm a little nervous about it. Brave men and women aren't men and women who don't have fear. Brave and bold men and women do in spite of what fear may bring. They overcome that fear in faith. What made Joseph different is that he trusted. And he knew from a humanistic perspective the backlash that was going to take place. He knew it. Yet he still, what did he do? What did we just read he did? After he heard these things, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Doesn't say he asked questions. Doesn't say he decided to pray about it for the next 3 weeks. He did as the angel commanded. He trusted. And I'm sure, again, he was trusting, but he's going, Lord, oh my goodness. This makes no sense to me. I don't get it, but I'm trusting you. I don't have to get it. I don't have to understand it. I just have to know who you are. Big difference. I don't have to have all the data and information about my circumstance and situation. I have to know who you are. I have to trust you. God with us. See, Jesus came, And he's known as Emmanuel. Not to be known just as, oh, God with us, Jesus showed up. But it's so you and I can say, he is with me. He is a part of who I am. He is with me. Scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? If I am linked with him, walking with him, he is for me. Therefore, he is with me. To be accurately translated, I am for him and I am with him. I'm linked up with him, and I'll explain that to you in a second. But that's what's going on. That's what Jesus is here to do. His heart wants to be united with ours. And he wants to meet us where we are. And he's looking at us to just simply move in that faith. Some of us are really stuck. We really, really are stuck. And I don't care if you're a new believer or you've been a Christian all your life. It's easy to get stuck in a certain place. But here's the other thing. The area that you might be stuck in, maybe the area that your greatest breakthrough will come from. And in that breakthrough, because when breakthrough comes, it's not just for you. Where you have breakthrough, you're meant to release that breakthrough in other people. It's not just for you. Every time I'm up here, just to be very honest, and I share with you things that God is doing in my life, these are things that God has given me breakthrough, and I want to release it to you because I know I'm not the only one that goes through these things. We all have our own issues and struggles, and you'd be surprised how many men and women who stand on a pulpit, what they struggle with that people put a spotlight on them. But our areas of greatest breakthrough is going to be the most powerful testimony you may have. So you can say, well, my breakthrough is in addictions. Yes, your breakthrough is in addictions. Therefore, that's an incredible, powerful testimony. Don't minimize that. If your breakthrough is in physical healing, yes. So now you're meant to carry that and bring hope and pray for healing. I'm sorry, heal the sick. Not pray for healing, because Jesus never said, go pray for someone to be healed. He said, heal them. You heal them. Not pray for them. You heal them. In my name. So those areas are the things he wants to use. So this great breakthrough in Joseph's life is what God saw in his character to be the physical father of Jesus our Savior. And this breakthrough is what empowered him to bear the burden that he had to bear in spite of whatever people are going to say, whatever's going on publicly, and be the dad that Jesus needed him to be in the natural. Because I want you to go back to Ahaz for a second. What would have happened to the nation of Israel if Ahaz would have turned his heart to God? If he would have had a breakthrough there and turned his heart. And from history, whenever a king turns their heart to God, he turns the nation to God. Because it always comes from leadership. Imagine the blessings that would have come to Judah at that time. Much more than just having a victory over Syria for the sake of defense and protecting their territory from Syria invading. But a nation would have been walking with God. Much more. So your breakthrough is meant to be your testimony. And your testimony is meant to be released so the kingdom of God is revealed. That's how God operates. And look at Joseph's testimony. Now, why did, and I'm going to close with this, why did God still give Israel a victory? Well, we look in Joshua 5, 13 through 15. I'll give you a glimpse of God's heart. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No. Rather, I indeed come now as a captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. What is this telling you about God? Joshua said to him, "Hey, are you going to help us win the victory, or are you for them?" The angel, a messenger from God, says, "No. I'm not for you, nor am I against you." And some translation says his response was, "I am for the Lord." What this is, what he's saying here is, I am for what the Heavenly Father establishes in heaven. I am for what God wants to do. And therefore, get your heart lined up with him. God with us means God's bringing a revelation. Jesus with us is bringing a revelation of the Father's heart so we can line ourselves up with the Father's heart and move in the Father's heart, in his spirit, in his power, in his way, in whatever manner he leads. He's connecting us. God with us is linking us to God. That we are always in communication. You will never have a cell tower go down when it comes to your link with God unless you allow sin to enter, unrepented sin to enter. That's the only way your communication would be hindered. You will always have clear reception. Sometimes it may not make sense, but the reception will be there. God with us says, "This is who I am. I love you so much that I want you to know my heart, and I want you to come alongside of my heart. And I want to show you that I am with you in this, that you're in right standing with me. And when I am with you, you will know when you're about to stray out of right standing with me. And I just want to get it back in line with you, Lord." So you'll know to pull back when you need to. That's the Holy Spirit's work. That's the Holy Spirit's love. That's the love of God breaking through. God is with us as we are with him. He loves us. His heart is for the will of heaven to be established on earth. Not just established, but come to life, to be reflected, to be revealed, to be shown. So we can get a taste of heaven now, here on earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus prayed. Would you stand with me? Just position yourself to receive. Luke, can you play, please? Thank you. Wow, okay. As you just get into that position, receive. Let's just, as a church right now, Holy Spirit, we thank you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. And as a church, as a body, as your sons and daughters, we just say, forgive us, Father. Forgive us for forgetting, for those times we've forgotten that you are with us, always and forever. We thank you, God, that your grace covers that. We thank you that you are faithful. So we change our minds right here, right now, today. And we just love you, Lord. We receive what you're pouring out. We're accepting what you are doing and have done in Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one you sent. We love you, Jesus. We just love you, Lord. Just love you. Just want you to stay in that position, receiving. See the Holy Spirit on different people. Just come, receive. Holy Spirit, continue to minister and touch. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to just turn around and gather with somebody with you, 2-3 people, and just pray a prayer. Again, I want you to practice listening to the Holy Spirit. God is with you. Therefore, he's going to show you, reveal. And sometimes the act of faith is just opening your mouth and starting. You don't have to get deep with each other in terms of opening up your hearts and bearing whatever's going on, but just share with each other a blessing. Just bless them with a prayer of encouragement that's prophetically as God puts things on your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's over there. Thank you, Lord. Before we do, Tiffany just has something to share. It'll be on. Go ahead.
I didn't think it was on. There's, that's better. So in my quiet time with the Lord, I asked the Lord, have I done everything you told me to do? Like, I don't want to go into 2020 with something that you like told me to do. And immediately I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. And so I felt like I was supposed to release that to you because it's something very, very easy that I'm going to accomplish today. But I just hadn't done it. And so if you guys will just join me in that, I felt like there were some people that was gonna, I don't know, just trigger something. So Lord, would you just share with us if there's anything left undone that we can get done for 2020? Ooh, I see some things already dropping into y'all's spirit. Some of you guys know. Wow, that's fun. Yeah. So if you're just looking at me, just ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Oh, okay. So then the other thing that I've just got is that some of you guys are looking at me because you don't know that you can hear the Lord. So right now we just speak hearing to your ear that you would be able to hear. And so the Word of God says that we know his voice and another one we will not listen to. So I want you to just direct your heart to God. If where you came from didn't tell you that you can hear God's voice, I'm sorry, but you can. Yeah, because the Word of God says so, right? So, Lord, we just ask that each and every one of us would have ears to hear you. And the only way to know that it's God is if it brings hope in life and you step into it. That's the only way. So you have to have a risk factor and a faith factor, okay? And if it's a thing that brings you, like, hopelessness, then that's not God. And you want to go, like, oh, get away. But if it's something that's like, ooh, I can do that. Ooh, I remember you told me to do that, Lord. Then that's what you want to step into. All right? So do more people hear that time around? Yeah? A few of you guys? Yes? You know exactly what to do for the rest of 2019. Amen. Amen. God is so good.
All right. So right now, would you just gather together? Just turn around, get together with 2 or 3 other people, and just encourage each other from the heart, from what the Lord reveals to you.